Well, good morning. I greet you in Christ Jesus' name this morning. I welcome each and every one here. As you read in the bulletin, I believe the first message will be in English, so I will be sharing a message this morning in English. I was very moved by the two songs that we sang, and one of the things that touched me is the song, God Himself is Present, and it's always interesting to imagine that God is present, and I thought of it in this way, that as the Lord Jesus lives in me, as I sit with my fellow brother, the Lord is there with him, and in that I hear the voices and I hear the beautiful singing, and then one of the lines says that angels and saints' voices blending. It's an amazing thing to look at that God Himself is here present with us this morning by His Spirit. So that touched me, and I just thought I would share that. if you would open the scriptures to Matthew chapter 26 this morning. My heart and my desire this morning is to speak of brokenness and free will. Jesus said these words in the Gospel of Matthew, very sobering words to take in, very real words in our lives, but Jesus said these words in Matthew. He said, not as I will, but as thou wilt. As a very, very short portion of Scripture, but we want to go into it a little deeper, but that is a very real thing in the believer's life, to come to this place, not as my will, but thou wilt be done. I was at an elderly widow's home this past week, and as she invited me into her home, right there next to the door, she had a small table, and she had a Bible laying there, and I had seen many of the King James Bibles, the big, big Bibles, but I had never seen one like this. This one had a picture of a 12-year-old Jesus on it. It was a beautiful, beautiful picture, and it really spoke to me. In the picture, Jesus, a 12-year-old Jesus, is in the midst of several elderly men, and he has his hand pointing upward, and then he has the other hand pointing at the scripture. And It's such an interesting thing as you look at the life of Christ and you look at the words that He speaks. He never speaks very long, and then you begin to hear of His Father. But here He is pointing at the Scripture, and He's pointing to heaven, and these men are there sitting with Him, and it says that Jesus Himself sat in their midst. And when I read that and thought about that, it really spoke to me, because when you look at Jesus, it's always amazing how He does things. It's always amazing when He speaks. Someone once said that Jesus was the most interesting storyteller that ever walked the earth. I believe if He could stand here this morning and just speak to us of stories of His Father and things of heaven and things of the kingdom of God and what He would usher in, He would have everyone's attention. Everyone would have their whole mind committed to what is He going to say next. That's how He was. But what really speaks to me, and I've seen this many times, and I don't know if you've noticed this, but Jesus here, as He did when He was 12 years old, He's sitting in the temple and He's speaking. And it's interesting to me, many, many times, just as it is this morning, the one that's going to speak, he stands up and the others all sit. But as you look at the life of Christ, there at the Lake of Galilee, a Sea of Galilee, there was thousands of people, they followed Him. He had thousands of people following Him. And then He gets in the boat and He pushes off a little ways into the water. And then you would think, now He's going to stand up and He's just going to really preach. But He sits down. There, when Jesus went up the mount a little ways, again, What did he do? It says that as he got to this place, he sat down and he opened his mouth. You know what I believe? Why he did that? He was in a place of comfort. He was in a place of 100% sure what he was going to talk about. He would open his mouth and you would hear about his father. I have said it this way, that I believe that wherever he walked, whether it was in Jerusalem, whether it was around the Sea of Galilee, wherever he walked, Samaria, wherever this man walked, if he would find one person, just a person, and he would pull them aside and he would ask them, "Have you heard of my father?" This man, Jesus, he loved to talk about his father. And here he is, he's 12 years old, and he's sitting in the midst of the teachers of the law, and it says that he's hearing them. These are teachers of the law. Jesus is sitting in the midst. He's 12 years old, and he's listening to what they're saying. And then it says that he's asking them questions. I've wondered, what did a 12-year-old Jesus ask teachers of the law that knew the scriptures, that knew the Torah, that knew all the Old Testament books, the first five books they probably memorized? What did he ask them? It's very interesting. The scriptures are silent, and only Luke records it. But Luke doesn't say what he asked them. But I believe as the picture there that I saw in the widow's home, he was speaking of his father, and he was speaking of the kingdom. He wanted to know, what do you understand? What does the Old Testament say? But it says that when he was done with them, and they were done with him, one thing happened. It says they were astonished, they were amazed with his understanding. And then it says that at that time, after they had asked their questions and he had asked his questions, then his earthly parents show up in the temple. And I love this part because Luke tells us, not in detail, but he does tell us what he was doing. And it says that the 12-year-old Jesus said this to his mother and his earthly father. He said, "Don't you know that I must be about my father's business?" And then he is silent. He goes back to Nazareth with Joseph and Mary. And it says he was subject unto them. His earthly ministry started what? In his 33rd year? So for some 20 years he waited until his father said, "Okay, son, now go." And then he opens his mouth in Galilee and he says this, "The time is fulfilled, the time is complete, it is 100% ready, and the kingdom of my Father is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." That was his message. And that brings me to brokenness. And it made me think of one of the messages we heard last week. And what was brought out was that many will try to enter in this straight gate. But Jesus says of these many, they shall not be able, and they're trying to get in, but they will not be able. And to not be able means that there is something they've left undone. Something is wrong. Something is not there that needs to be there to come through this straight gate. And you still, if you haven't come through, you're still on the other side of the straight gate. And it says of these, they are seeking to do this. They are trying to figure out a way, how do I enter in? I have a thought with you this morning. I want to share it. about the Apostle Peter. Two men of all of humankind, only two have walked on water. Just two people of the billions and trillions of people that have been on earth. Just two walk on water. The Lord Jesus and the disciple Peter. And I want to ask you this morning, before he got out of the boat, do you think he thought about, how am I going to do this? Do you think he began to reason within himself? If I step out on this water, am I not just going to sink? Do you think he had a long discussion within himself? How am I going to walk on water? And think about it this way. What if a couple of weeks later, and he's back home with his wife, and she says, "Husband, I heard you walked on water. How did you do that?" There are men trying to get in, and they can't because it doesn't make sense. Because the gate is so small. The gate is so straight. They say, can't do it. Peter would have never walked on water. He would have never took one step. But he took a step. And he walked. We are a very interesting created being of God. We are the most unique creation of all. And we love, mankind has, since the dawn of man, has tried to figure out and figure and reason and understand, and it's not wrong. And God has given us this ability. But if we were left alone, I believe this, and you may laugh. But if we were left alone, I think we'd still be working on the tower. I don't think we would have quit. We'd still be building blocks. I'm going to get to heaven. And Jesus says, there's a straight gate over here. This block building thing is not going to get you to heaven. It's over here. On your knees, here's the straight gate. Peter walked on water. If he could speak this morning, he would say, I have no idea how I did it. I just looked at Christ and I walked. And the Lord says, by reasoning and examining and thinking and trying to figure out, you're not going to get in. We have programs, we have how-to books, we have 12 steps to this, 14 steps to that. Every day is a Friday. We have all these things. But it doesn't work because it puts things in a formula. Add so many drops of this and then add a little bit of water, shake it up, and you're going to get this. The Spirit of God has never worked that way in my life. He has never done that to me. Everything that happened was by giving myself just a surrendered heart to His will. Not as I will, but as Thou will. How do you do it? How do you get in? How do you make the entrance into the kingdom of God? Jesus says it's a straight gate. And anyone that wants to be part of the kingdom, anyone, no man excluded, even Peter came through that straight gate to get into the kingdom. How will we get in? Nicodemus was the same, and he asked Jesus, how do you do this? How do I make this entrance in? I remember hearing the story of a young lady, a young woman. She had attended many, many meetings, revival meetings. We're going to preach the word of God. We're going to bring people to a place of brokenness. Then they'll come in. And she had heard message after message after message. And I'm not saying that's wrong. What I'm saying is, she finally came to a place and said, everything that I'm hearing, I can't do it. I can't do that. You know, that night, after she realized, I can't do it, she came through. And she accepted Jesus as the Lord and Savior. It's when we can, then God cannot do what He wants to do in my life. Jesus said to Nicodemus, marvel not. Again, back to the Apostle Peter. Jesus is on the water, and He hears from Peter, Lord, if it is You, call me to come to You. And Jesus says to Peter, come. Now, if Peter would have taken some time to examine the situation, just marvel at this whole thing, how is this going to happen? You think he'd ever stepped out? He'd have never walked on water. Jesus says, marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again. In other words, don't wonder. Don't be amazed. Don't be astonished at what I am saying to you. These are the words of Jesus. This is what He said. And then He Himself explains, this is how it's going to be. And you can't box this thing up. You will never put this thing in a box. You can never say, do this, this, and this, and then that. You ain't going to put it in a box. And I love what Jesus says. He says, Nicodemus, this is how it's going to work. The wind blows where it will. And you hear the sound of it. But you don't know. You don't know. I don't know. Where does it come from? Where does the wind come from? How does it one day just blow? Where did it come from? And then you don't know where it's going either. I don't know where it's going. And then Jesus concludes with these words. So it is with everyone, each one, this is all of mankind, that comes through the straight gate, that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus says, how can these things be? Where I can't put my hand on it, where I can't explain it, all I can say, the wind of God touched me one day, and all I could do was receive it. I can't even explain it. You ever been with a man like that? You ever sat next to someone and he's trying to explain, and he gets to a place and he says, I don't know. I don't know why He chose me. I don't know how His love could touch me, the worst of the worst, as Paul, the chief of sinners, and He touched me. And this moving of the Spirit of God, it leaves us broken before Him. Because what can I say? What can I boast about? There's nothing left for me to say except walk the Christian life and speak of the goodness of God. There is nothing left for me to say but that. And I want to say this. You receive that, you come empty-handed. Nothing in my hand I have brought. Nothing can I boast about. Just as I am. That's how I came. You know, it's like those before the Lord, and they say, Lord, and I truly believe this was in their heart. This is what was in there. They said, Lord, what did I ever do for You? What did I ever do for You? And it's that heart, it's that thinking that puts us broken before him because I have nothing to brag about. And I tell you, you stand at this straight gate, you will not enter in any other way. I once heard a dialogue between two men. One said, "It is very interesting to me. You tell me that there will be none in heaven that will boast, will be prideful." And he said, "Oh no. The Lord arranged it so that all that enter in, they leave that on the other side. There is no room for boasting. Only praise and glory and honor for him." And I tell you, this gate, we want to read Matthew chapter 26. I'm almost done here, but this gate was prayed out of brokenness. This gate was formed out of brokenness. This gate was the Lord Jesus Christ completely one, just broken out before his Father, and the gate was made. Matthew chapter 26, verses 36 through 42. We want to read these verses, and we'll say a couple of things about free will, and then I'm done here this morning. Matthew 26, verses 36 through 42. "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further, and he fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done." I want to say something about the free will of man. For I believe this is where the battle is. This is where the battle is taking place, making decisions right at the center of your being. And God has put that there. But I want to first talk a little bit about Gethsemane, a very, very tender place. And I want to say here, first of all, I don't believe that Jesus' will was ever, not once, against his Father's will. I don't believe that. No, I believe he was in perfect harmony in the garden with his Father. Even when he said, not as I will, but as thou wilt. If you believe this morning that he was saying, Father, I don't want to do what you want me to do. I don't believe that. The agony in the garden wasn't that his will didn't line up with the Father's will. And it wasn't that he didn't want to give his life. And it wasn't that he didn't want to go to the cross. He was not afraid of death. And it says that as he went away to pray, he didn't fall on his knees. It says he fell on his face. That's how broken he was. He fell on his face and he prayed again. Father, can it be done any other way? The gate was being established. Can it be done any other way? But it couldn't be done any other way. He took the cup and he looked into the cup. You know what he saw? He tasted what separated mankind from God. That's what he saw in the cup. Separation. This man had never been separated from his father. Never. Every step he took, it was because the father said, "No, go, son." Every word he spoke. His will was not against the father's will. But in the cup, he saw separation from his father. And he needed to taste that. Because if he didn't taste that, he wouldn't know what you and I have done. He looked into the cup and he said, "I don't want to drink it." But if he wouldn't have drank from the cup, he wouldn't know. In our fallen nature, how it is with us. He wouldn't know. He drank from the cup. It says, Paul writes this in the book of Colossians. He says that you and I, we have separated ourselves. We are alienated in our minds from the Father, from God. And I want to say this morning in closing that the Father didn't leave him. The Father did not leave his son. And also, you know the story of the prodigal son. Who did the leaving? It was the prodigal son. The father stayed right there. He was with his son. The son did the leaving, not the father. You and I, we chose to walk away from him. God did not walk away from man. He would experience separation at the cross and experience what we have done. Free will. I'll say something about free will yet. Why give us free will? Isn't that the hardest question to answer? Why give man free will? Why let man choose? And then he chooses what he does. Why do that? Paul, to the Corinthian church, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, speaks a lot about gifts and speaking in tongues and many things, and he's speaking of the body, the church. And then at the end of that chapter, he points and he says, covet all these things, these beautiful gifts, covet all these things. But then he points and he says, yet I show you a more excellent way. And then we have the love chapter, chapter 13. I truly believe that if we had not a free will, we would not understand what love is. You would not even know what it is to love a brother. You would not know what it is to cry with a sister. You would not know what love is. We have four children. And when they are young, we train them. We tell them what to do, what not to do. Then they come to a place and they enter into adulthood where they begin to become accountable. And you pray for them. And you work with them. And you love them. And you bless them. But they are their free agent. They think on their own. And then when that thing takes place, that they say something to you in kindness and in love, there's a relationship there. Without free will, we wouldn't know how to love one another. I don't believe it. I don't know. Free will. Why put a tree there and allow all these sufferings to happen? We would never experience love unless there was free will. Jesus said this, and I'll close here with this, in the Gospel of John chapter 15, verse 9. It's my closing verse. And this verse This is a verse that you have to pull back and you have to, you know, like Jesus, sometimes in the scriptures it says, behold. Like in other words, take a little time, look at what it's saying, behold what manner of man this is. You know, that verse. But here it says, as the Father hath loved me. You know that love there on the cross, in the garden, as he's ministering, when the miracles were being done, as the bread was being distributed, all that love. As the Father hath loved me, that same love, so have I loved you. And then he says this. This is not a suggestion. This is a commandment. So continue in my love. I would just like to say here also, for my brother Abe and his family, Abe and Margaret Redekop, they thank the church for all the prayers. They lost a daughter a little over a week ago, and they are still very, very broken in all the things that have happened, but they said that the community from far and wide, all over in Canada, different areas, they have received so much love and just sharing with them in their loss. And one of the things, and I'll share just this little bit of what he shared with me last night. A man came to him and he said, you know, you're just this kind father and you've got this beautiful family. And he was really saying how nice they were. And he said, you know what? You see, anything in our lives, it's the grace of God. And then he said this. This was Abe's instruction to the father. He said, do this. Go home. Speak to your children. Sit with them. Speak to them and hear them. Know what they're interested in. Take time for your children. And that spoke to me because I shared it with Abe. I said, you know what? The time that you and I are sharing here now is gone. Tomorrow it's gone. We have this time and it's over. So with that, if you could stand for a word of prayer, please.